Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. The views are my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And well, ordinarily I'd tell you to hold your calls, but it looks like we haven't got our guest again today. Yesterday we would have had John Stormer. He called this morning, very apologetic. His wife had wanted to go out to dinner, and they got having such a good time having dinner, they forgot all about the program. So we'll have John Stormer on later. Today we would have had Gary Matsumoto talking about his book, Vaccine A, which we are going to carry, and which we think is such an important book, because it goes into the background of the Gulf War illness. Now, you have to really understand what the Gulf War illness is all about, the devastating effect it's had, and we're going to, of course, welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Gary has done a masterful job on this, and he's answered a lot of questions that have been plaguing me ever since this all began. And certainly we know that after the first Gulf War, and we had about 695,000 American troops that were stationed in the Gulf at that time, who fought in the first Gulf War. And we lost maybe 100 men, less than 100 men. It was a 100-hour war. It was one of the greatest wars, accomplishments of all time. Many of us were very upset that George W. Herbert Walker Bush did not go down and get the wicked Saddam Hussein, but he didn't. We pulled our troops back, and then, of course, the George Herbert Walker Bush told the people of Iraq, the people in the south and the people in the north, the Kurds and the Sunni Muslims, to rise up against Saddam Hussein, and we would come and help them, and they believed him, and then we let Saddam take his helicopter gunships and go down and slaughter tens of thousands of Sunni Muslims, and then send his troops into slaughter. And they probably slaughtered 100,000 of the people who believed in American president, and they tried to do the same thing to the Kurds. The Kurds fought back valiantly, and eventually we did put our no-fly zones into both the north and the south. But how could you have made such a foolish mistake and told the people to line up, to rise up against the Saddam Hussein, and we would come and help them? I mean, why would you do something like that unintentionally? Aren't you responsible if the people do what you say? Well, the same thing had happened in Hungary in 1956 when we told the Hungarian patriots to rise up against the Russians and we would come to help them. And day after day, why, Voice of America broadcast in exactly that same message. And when the people rose up, there were no American troop forces to help them. No planes, no supplies. We left them there to be slaughtered. And unless you understand history, you can't understand that there really are evil and wicked people out there. And this was a wonderful way of getting a slaughter, and, of course, of cementing Saddam Hussein's control. Because, of course, it gave the people that feeling of hopelessness that America was not going to come to their help. After having steadfastly promised, they believed in the word of an American president, who did nothing. Well, 100,000, it's suggested, between 50 and 100,000 Iraqis died because they believed in American president. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Now, ordinarily, we would have a guest at this time, but our regularly scheduled guest, Gary Matsumoto, author of Vaccine A, is not with us, so it's just going to be you and me. So I'm going to go a little into the background of the Gulf War and, of course, what Vaccine A is really all about. We had 695,000 troops in the first Gulf War. It was a great victory. Our boys came home. They had conquered us, the Iraqis. Of course, we pulled back before we finished the job. But when the men came home, why, they were met by certainly parades. And then after a short period of time, some of the men started getting sick. And as more and more of the young men who had been to Gulf War and the women who had been to the Gulf War began developing strange sort of non-specific symptoms. And those symptoms consisted of all sorts of rashes, painful rashes that didn't respond to regular sorts of treatment. They had asthma and other breathing problems. They had difficulty thinking, difficulty focusing their mind, profound memory loss. They had diarrhea. They had excruciating headaches, and they had swelling of their joints and pains in their joints, and a chronic fatigue, and a certain number of them developed progressive neurological changes compatible with multiple sclerosis and Lou Gehrig's disease. And of course, they'd go to the VA and they'd ask for help. And of course, the doctors of the VA were told that there was no entity, there was no disease, and they were given Prozac. They were told they were crazy. First, it was hundreds that went, and then thousands, and then tens of thousands, and then hundreds of thousands. There are today over 200,000 that already have a permanent disability from the Gulf War. Almost a third of our force has already been recognized to be totally disabled. How many men are sick? Well, they're lying to the American people about it. But fortunately, we do have some government records that give us an idea of what is really going on. And there's a report that came out in September of this year. I read about it in the newspaper, tried to find it on the web. It was hidden there. They're doing everything they can to conceal the truth from the American people. But we have a copy of the report that one of my friends was able to find for me. And here is what we know. That of the young men from Great Britain who went to fight in Iraq, 67% of them were ill. Of the young men who went from a contingent from New England, an air contingent, about 65% of them are ill. Of two contingents that went from Kansas, I think it's 47 and one and 45% of the other. They're ill, disabled, and the government says there's nothing wrong with them. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we're talking about the Gulf War illness. We're talking about the report that was put out by the Veterans Administration in September of this year, and we have a copy of this, and you can probably find it on the web. If you can't, we can make you one, but it's rather an expensive thing to do, and so we'd suggest you try to find it on your own. But we'll give you a basic summary of what we know about the current status of the Gulf War illness. Now, you're being lied to by the media. They are planting articles all of the time to confuse this entire issue. But the symptoms of Gulf War illness are this. Rashes, and of course they don't respond to much of anything. Then of course there's asthma and breathing and respiratory problems. There's cognitive problems, and that is that you can't think. You can't think clearly. You can't remember things. Your mind seems to be fading in and out. There's chronic diarrhea and gastrointestinal symptoms. These people have excruciating headaches, and of course they have joint pain and joint swelling, and they just hurt all over. They have chronic fatigue and progressive neurological problems. And of course, some of them actually have anterior lateral sclerosis. And the incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease is 200% in the veterans of the Gulf War. And of course, Veterans Administration has admitted that. So we have crippled probably in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 400,000 of the 695,000 people that go over there. And as I mentioned just a few moments ago young men from Great Britain who went off to fight, why, 67% of them have these symptoms. Now, they may not have all of the symptoms, but they have enough to have a great serious disability. 65% of the people from the New England Air Guard are ill. I think it's 48% and 45% of two contingents that came from Kansas are ill because of the Gulf War illness. So this is a very serious problem. Now, there are all sorts of things that they put forward to explain this. Well, maybe it was the pesticides that were impregnated into the Union, into the uniforms, or that they used. Maybe it was the pyridoxine bromide that was used. They gave many of the young people this experimental drug in case there was a gas attack, so it was somehow impact on their mind. Or maybe it was the poison gas. And this is one of the things I've really learned from Gary Matsumoto's book. At the time, there were 100,000 people with Gulf War illness. The government admitted that there were 100,000 people exposed to poison gas, to sarin, after the area at Kamachia, the bunker that contained poison gas was blown up. And of course, the other side was the petroleum fires. And they said any one of these causes could have been responsible, this toxic exposure. Maybe that's why we have a Gulf War illness. But there was one young man, his name was Gary Matsumoto, and he had been an investigative reporter. He was there in the first Gulf War. And what he points out in his book, which I think is so very, very important, is that none of the Arabs in the area got this Gulf War illness. None of the reporters who were there at the time of the Gulf War got the Gulf War illness. Was this story that the government was putting out about 100,000 men exposed to sarin gas a cover to confuse the American people so they would not recognize there was something else going on? And we have with us now on the line Gary Matsumoto. Thank you so much for being with us, Gary.
Hey, thank you very much for having me back, Dr. Monti.
Well, this is an entirely different audience, so we can go ahead and develop all of these ideas. And why don't you pick up on this idea? The 100,000 people, we get this article, and it's put in the paper, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that article never would have been in the paper if somebody in the military or in the CIA or somebody who is manipulating our reality hadn't wanted it there. And that seemed to be a logical explanation then for the 100,000 people ill with Gulf War illness. Pick up that story.
That was what was so insidious about this particular explanation for this mysterious malady. What was insidious about it was that to the layperson, it makes a certain sense. Nerve agent. A lot of these people have got neurological problems. They suffer from dizziness and vertigo and short-term memory. These are associated with neurological injury. Well, it stands to reason, it would seem to most people who are unfamiliar with nerve agents, that would be the most logical explanation. Well, in fact, nerve agents do not cause long-term chronic illness or dizziness or vertigo. Nerve agents, if depending on the quantity to which you're exposed, are going to kill you in less than 10 minutes. That's what the Army teaches. And it has a very, very specific effect. One of the known effects is something called meiosis. The pupils of your eyes shrink to pinpoints, and you suffer excruciating headaches, and then your autonomic nervous system shuts down, and basically your body stops functioning, and that's why you die. And unless you reverse this with an injection of atropine, the antidote for nerve agent exposure, you will die. Now, there wasn't a single recorded case of nerve agent exposure for any soldier, sailor, marine, or airman during the first Gulf War. Nevertheless, the Army and the CIA in 1996 put out this story that 100,000 veterans of the war may be suffering from illness due to exposure to a occult plume of nerve agent that wafted up into the atmosphere over the Saudi Peninsula as a result of the demolition of the Kamachia ammunition dump in southern Iraq by an Army Corps of Engineers. And the story went that by blowing up these munitions and without knowing that some of the shells contained sarin, they put up this big imperceptible cloud of nerve agent micro droplets into the atmosphere that wafted out over the battlefield and drifted out over troops and made them incurably ill. Now, the other problem with this story, and there are myriad ones, was that there is zero evidence that this plume ever existed. It's entirely theoretical. But it got a certain credence because the CIA did a computer model. It had pictures of the theory. And this was put on into newspapers and on network television, and it made it seem real. But the computer modeling was done entirely on speculative information. They had no hard data, like the weather patterns. They had some of that, but they had no idea of whether or not nerve agent was thrown up in the air. They did not know the concentration. They had no data on where it went downwind. They had nothing. It was entirely speculative. And then, of course, as we discussed on another one of your programs, Dr. Monteith, the Defense Intelligence Agency itself said, hey, this doesn't work for us. This idea is illogical, and it's illogical, because the injuries associated with nerve agent poisoning don't match Gulf War syndrome. But the other problem we have with it, said the Defense Intelligence Agency, was the fact that military personnel all over the Saudi Peninsula were developing this strange sickness, and they were nowhere near the theoretical plume of nerve agent released from Kamisiyah. Some of these guys were down in El Taif and in air bases where we had B-52s mustering out of an air base near Mecca. That's way, way south of the front lines, and people in places like that were reporting illness.
And, of course, your point was that none of the reporters that were there got it, and some of the young men who didn't go overseas, that never were deployed, got the same disease. So that's pretty hard to explain that. Do you think that was a cover story to actually confuse the American people?
Well, let's just say that it did the job.
All right, fine.
Now, was it intentional? I don't know, because I've not spoken to anybody in the government who said, well, we put out this bogus story because we wanted to divert attention from the real thing with this red herring. I don't have anyone who said that. I don't have a document that says that.
And of course, you as an investigative reporter have to be much more exacting than I as a speculator. Well, anyway, of course, you got very interested in this story. And of course, you've done a wonderful job of talking to the people. And you actually talked to a medical officer who told you that he had been ordered to give an experimental vaccine. Now, of course, the government has consistently and steadfastly denied that they used any experimental vaccines. And yet you actually talked to a medical officer who told you he had used an experimental vaccine. Would you like to develop that thought?
Sure. The Army has known that its licensed anthrax vaccine probably wouldn't work as early as 1963. The top scientist at Fort Detrick said there was no rationale for the particular design that they had, which was a single protein secreted by the anthrax organism. Now, you got to remember with vaccines, a classic vaccine contains the whole organism against which you want protection. It's the whole virus, it's the whole bacteria, you need, for comprehensive protection, to induce an immune response against the whole organism. There isn't a single anthrax organism in the licensed vaccine. It's just a protein secreted by the germ. And that makes it the single weakest vaccine ever licensed anywhere in the world.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest today. But the point Gary is making is this is the traditional vaccine was very weak, and they feared it wouldn't work. So they're going to have to do something to get it to work. And if there was going to be an anthrax attack, they only had relatively few weeks to be able to immunize a whole army. What were they going to do? Well, you're going to find out in just a moment.
The book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, A Road to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course the medical doctors in charge of the medical corps of the military were facing the point where we were going to be putting our troops into an area, and there was a fear that Saddam Hussein was going to use anthrax. At least this is the story, and it takes ordinarily using this vaccine that it would take about 6 months for a series of shots. I think there are 5 or 6 shots they were going to have to take, and it would take that long, and our boys are going to be there. We don't have any time. How are we going to get immunity for these boys in case there is an anthrax attack? We don't have 6 months. We don't have 3 months. We only have a few weeks before the war is going to start, and we have a very, very weak vaccine that will probably give very little protection, even even if, you know, they were fully immunized. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Gary?
Well, as you point out, the real worry was that they were going to take mass casualties from anthrax. They had a licensed vaccine that they in which they had no confidence. And they had an immunization program that began in-country, we're talking about in Saudi Arabia, on January 5th, 1991. That was exactly 11 days before the war would start. So what do you do when you have a vaccine, the weakest ever made? No other vaccine requires 6 shots administered at specific intervals over 18 months plus an annual booster. Now, as you, again, as a doctor, you pointed out, you know, you do not have instant immunity when you're injected with a vaccine. It does not happen right then and there. It takes time for your body to build up its defenses in response to the immunization. And with the licensed vaccine, it was believed to be, we're talking about the U.S. version, 6 months. With the British version, it was believed to be around 8 months. What do you do? You've got up to 60,000 body bags in Saudi Arabia. You're not worried about Iraqi armor. You know we're going to beat them up. We're going to blow them out of the desert. No worries about conventional warfare. The one thing that is terrifying them is anthrax and chemical weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. You've got a brand new vaccine. Provides more immunity and less time with what you believe is just one shot. You think it's safe. Do you use it? And I have to tell you, having written this book, I would have. I would have used it. I would have said, if you really think that we are going to have possibly tens of thousands of young American men and women coming back home in those aluminum coffins that I saw stacked on the airways, on the runways, next to Dahran, where I was based with NBC News, I would have said, let's make sure that those empty aluminum coffins stay empty. Let's use that new vaccine that you say is so wonderful and is safe. Use it. Okay, it's not licensed? Fine. Let's not worry about the regulatory details here. Let's get down to business. We're Americans. We're pragmatic. We're going to save lives. We're going to win this war. Use it. It makes altogether too much sense. Unfortunately, in order to make this wonderful one-shot vaccine, they needed to add an oil to it that made the immune response swifter and more aggressive. How do you get how do you take the same protein, because it's made with, the new vaccine is made with the exact same core ingredient as the old one. How do you make the same thing work faster? There's only one way to do that. They added something called an adjuvant. It's spelled A-D-J-U-V-A-N-T. Most Americans, most citizens anywhere in the world probably have never heard of this. Why do they not know about adjuvants, in particular ones made from oils? Because we've been working for them for close to a century, and all of them have proven too toxic to license for human use. We don't know about them because we can't use them. We can't use them because they're too unsafe. But in order to get this one-shot wonder, the Army added an oil to the new and improved second-generation anthrax vaccine. And I met an Army major, interviewed an Army major for this book, who said he used the new vaccine. He was ordered to use the new one in Saudi Arabia.
And how much, he gave an awful lot of people shots, didn't he, in a short period of time?
He said he immunized up to 18,000 troops in less than 3 days in Dahran alone. He got a medal for it.
And wasn't he ordered to destroy all the records and all the evidence after that?
Absolutely. Take all the boxes, put them in a 55-gallon steel drum behind the shot tents, and burn them.
In other words, it was something secret. Nobody was to know. And if there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it? Well, we'll be back in just a moment or two with our special guest, Gary Matsumoto, the book Vaccine A. You got to get it. You got to read it. One of the most fascinating reads I've had in a long time.
Set Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention we do carry the Berkey, the big Berkey water filters, and we carry the Berkey light water filters. They're great to have in case of an emergency. They're great to have if you have fluoride or lead or arsenic in your water. And ladies and gentlemen, if they're fluoridating your water, they're putting a little lead and arsenic in there as well. And the Berkey water filters will take that out. And of course, we know that these are harmful to the brain. Is that why our test scores comparing America with countries throughout the world are so low? Well, I would simply point out that in China they found out that the levels of fluoride that we have in some of our cities here lower IQs about 10%. Would you want that for your children? Give serious consideration. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and then give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light water filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Gary Matsumoto, his book, Vaccine A. And we're going to carry the book because it's one of the most fascinating adventure stories I've read in a long time, except it isn't simply a novel. It's a true story of an illness that has incapacitated hundreds of thousands of formerly very healthy young men. So why don't you pick up the story there, Gary? I hear we're facing the attack. You've talked to the major. They're frantically vaccinating the people and then, of course, ordering the officer to destroy all evidence, no records. What do they do with the shot records as far as this? Because there's supposed to be a record in the shot of every shot given.
Well, that's the standard practice. Military personnel carry this little WHO shot card, immunization card for the World Health Organization. It's about the size of a passport, bright mustard-colored yellow. And military personnel, as a general practice, have every single one of their immunizations entered into that card, in addition in their medical records. In many cases, though not all, what they called medical investigators in theater would not log this shot into the shot cards. Instead, troops were lined up outside these tents where they were administering the anthrax immunizations, and they were asked to sign rosters as well as a pledge to keep the immunizations a secret.
They were asked to sign a pledge to keep the immunization secret?
Yes. This is the irony here. It was the only secret immunization in the Gulf, and it was a licensed vaccine. there was an experimental immunization called botulinum toxoid, and everybody knew that it was being administered. It was, in fact, voluntary and reported in the Washington Post. Everybody knew that some troops were going to be getting this experimental vaccine, botulinum toxoid. The licensed anthrax vaccine, they were supposed to be getting the licensed anthrax vaccine, on the other hand, was a secret, and it was mandatory. And the theory was, or at least the rationale I heard for keeping it a secret, was that we did not want the enemy to know that we were vaccinating against anthrax, and therefore give the enemy an opportunity to switch agents. In other words, if they knew that we were protected against this particular bug, they would change the bug. There are a couple of problems with that idea. First is, if you read the intelligence documents, which were declassified from this time, we weren't sure that the Iraqis had any other biological warfare agents. The one that we knew about was anthrax. The one we were certain about was anthrax because the United States sold Saddam seven of his anthrax strains, including the former U.S. weapons strain. So we knew he had this. We knew that he was, well, we were fairly certain he was developing it as a weapon. And this is the one that we were concerned about, the one that we thought could cause mass casualties. So that leads me to the second problem I've got with this idea of keeping it a secret. Because they argued that if Saddam knew about this, it would deter him from using it, or at least potentially so. Well, why not then advertise it? I might have gotten on CNN to have pictures of the troops receiving their anthrax shots as a deterrent, because as far as we knew, he didn't have many other alternative agents to use. So why not discourage its use by doing just the opposite, broadcasting far and wide, we are using this vaccine. We are protected, or so we want the enemy to think. We didn't do that. Instead, we kept it a secret, which would arguably be an inducement, would actually encourage the enemy to use this agent, and we used a new vaccine, according to some reports from some military officers in the region. Unfortunately for military personnel coming home who are sick, what Major Greg Dubay of Alabama had to say was entirely consistent with what was discovered by Tulane University Medical School later, which was sick Gulf War veterans have tested positive for an antibody to the oil squalene, which is added to the experimental second-generation anthrax vaccine, but not the licensed one. And animals injected with his oil develop these incurable autoimmune diseases. These are diseases in which the immune system attacks the body it is supposed to protect, so it just does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. Instead of defending the body, it goes into self-destruct mode and destroys the body.
And doing exactly what the Gulf War illness is.
Yes, some of the symptoms associated with autoimmunity, the early onset of autoimmunity, are chronic fatigue, chronic muscle and joint pain, mysterious rashes, headaches, dizziness, short-term memory loss, tinnitus, which is a incessant ringing in the ears, muscle twitching and fasciculations. These things all occur with adjuvant injection. We're talking, again, when I use the word adjuvant, we're talking about this booster that is added to weak vaccines to accelerate the immune response and make it more aggressive. Squalene induces autoimmune diseases in animals. The animal versions of multiple sclerosis, the human diseases, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. These are the exact same diseases that are occurring in military personnel that have, since the war, been injected with anthrax vaccine confirmed to contain trace quantities of squalene.
And, of course, this has been known for a long time that this is what happened. There were all sorts of studies out there. Hadn't they done studies in many other countries? And they felt that the squalene, even though it provoked a tremendous immune response, was too dangerous to use on human beings?
They not only concluded it was too dangerous to inject into human beings, they have stated in publications and scientific journals that it is too inhumane to inject into animals.
Well, now, what about, you mentioned when we talked before that they'd done an experiment on, 50,000 or more troops many years ago where they put a mineral oil in it, which is somewhat similar to squalene. What was that story all about?
This occurred in Fort Dix in New Jersey, 1951 to 1953. 44,000 troops were involved in a clinical trial to develop a new and improved flu vaccine. Now, you know that the Army has always been very concerned about flu because the great 1918 flu pandemic that killed an estimated 20 million people around the world originated at an Army base. The index patient, the very first patient believed to have died in the great 1918 flu pandemic, was an Army cook named Private Albert Gitchell at Fort Riley in Kansas, a section of Fort Riley, in fact, called Camp Funston. And it was erroneously named the Spanish flu because the only country that reported this epidemic of flu at the time was Spain, which was a neutral country that wasn't under war censorship. So it got erroneously named the Spanish flu, when in fact it was an American flu, and specifically an Army flu. And in order to avoid having this mass outbreak in the ranks that could then kill millions of civilians around the globe, the military has been always trying to develop a new flu vaccine. Well, in order to get a better one, they tried adding oils to flu vaccines as early as the early 1950s. The tests were orchestrated by none other than Dr. Jonas Salk, one of the great giants of modern immunology. So we're talking about an activity, experiments on military personnel without informed consent, in contravention of the Nuremberg Code, that is not only being condoned by the U.S. public health establishment, we are talking about an activity that is perpetrated by the very pillars of that establishment.
Now, what happened to those that 44,000 troops? Because they followed those now for, 20 or 30 years?
They followed them for a total of 21 years. They commissioned a number of different studies on them, follow-up studies. This was done by the Armed Forces Epidemiological Board, the National Cancer Institute, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is also one of the agencies of the NIH, the National Institutes of Health.
And so what did they find?
Well, after 21 years, they discovered that this thing was just too unsafe to license. At 21 years out, they started to get autopsy data on these guys injected with the new vaccine, and they found an excess number of cerebral lesions. We're talking about injuries in the brain. We know that this occurs in animals injected with these oils. Well, now they were getting autopsy data on deceased veterans who died presumably from natural causes. And when they examined their bodies, they found these injuries. And though they didn't say, they refused to directly attribute it to the experimental vaccines, what they did not do was very telling. They did not license this oil additive. But that has not prevented them from still trying to get an oil additive licensed. They thought, at the time of the Gulf War, that maybe if they just switched the oil, they could find one that would work and wouldn't cause this sort of damage. That's what they thought in the 1950s. They were using a different kind of oil, much heavier, and they said, well, we'll use light mineral oil. Maybe that'll work. And then when the light mineral oil didn't work, they said, we're going to use a metabolizable oil. This is an oil that we think that the body can tolerate and process. And that was squalene. And the problem you run into when you don't do the proper preclinical toxicology tests in animals, thorough, ongoing tests that last for years and go straight into human beings, is your presumptions may not stand up under scrutiny. Unfortunately, as I'm saying in my book, it shouldn't take the illness or deaths of military personnel to help you reach that conclusion.
Well, of course, one of the things that they did, and this was really more recently because they're still using the same experimental vaccine, is that weren't there four people who were going to have to be forced to take the vaccine against their will, who actually got their blood tested both before they took the vaccine and afterwards? And what was that story about?
That was possibly some of the most damning evidence for an experiment, or at least for the problems with anthrax immunization. That is, when I first reported in Vanity Fair magazine in 1999 that military personnel were being injected with this stuff, possibly being injected with this stuff because they were developing antibodies to squalene following anthrax immunization, and I named the lot numbers, identified them, at least two of them. The military came back and said, absolute nonsense. This is fiction. Gary Matsumoto is reckless, irresponsible, and wrong. No way, not then, not now, not ever will we have squalene and anthrax vaccine. And there were military personnel who wanted to believe what they were being told by their superior officers. If I were in the military, I would want that too. I would want to know that I can trust them. I can take them at their word. So they were inclined to do so, but they were also inclined to believe what President Reagan was saying at the time with regard to the Soviets. President Reagan kept quoting an old Russian saying, which is trust but verify. So four sergeants in the Air Force said, we're going to trust, but we want to verify. And they sent their blood to Tulane Medical School for testing before they received their anthrax shots. And none of them tested positive for these antibodies, and none of them were sick. And just to be sure, they sent their blood a second time. Not just once, they did it twice. Both times they were negative. Then they took their anthrax shots. Three out of the four of them became sick. And then three out of four of them tested positive for antibodies to squalene. And what really made them mad, what got them furious after they got this data, after they got over their shock, was that they subsequently found out that in response to my article in 1999 article in Vanity Fair, the FDA tested anthrax vaccine, five lots, and found that they did contain squalene.
In other words, the military had been lying.
Well, it looked like it. And what happened, and these guys who were injected with a vaccine and then developed the antibodies and illness, turns out they were all injected with anthrax vaccine that had been confirmed by FDA testing to contain this oil. So all four of these Air Force sergeants were at first shocked, then they were depressed because of the great sense of betrayal that they felt, and then they were really hopping mad. They felt like they had been deceived by their own government.
And, of course, the trouble is that are they still ill? Do we know what happened to them?
Yeah, they're all still ill because autoimmune diseases are incurable.
And, of course, what we have is a significant increase in Lou Gehrig's disease, a terrible, terrible disease. Even the Veterans Administration now acknowledges that there is a relationship between the Gulf War illness and Lou Gehrig's disease. Isn't that true?
Yes. Just a few years ago, in fact, the Veterans Administration, under pressure, did a study of deployed and non-deployed military personnel at the time of the Gulf War. And this study concluded that if you were a veteran of Desert Storm who deployed to Saudi Arabia or Iraq, you were twice as likely to develop Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, than someone who did not deploy. And that was the very first time since the war that any Department of Government has admitted that there might be a physical illness associated with service in the war. Interestingly, two of the guys, two out of the 40 with ALS, took the test at Tulane. Both had the antibodies.
And, of course, the government cannot allow this to happen. I mean, you're talking about at least 200,000, probably closer to 300,000 or even more 100,000 who are ill. I mean, are you going to trust your government if they're not going to tell the truth? We're out of time, Gary, but thank you so much for being with us. And Gary will be with us for another couple of hours next week. So we've only begun to touch the tip of the iceberg. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me back on.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Let me suggest that many of you out there in the listening audience, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, really need to get this to begin to understand what's really going on behind the scenes. How do you make any sense out of a story like you just heard? How do you make any sense out of the fact that we were attacked by 15 men from Saudi Arabia and four others? And so because 15 men from Saudi Arabia attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, we go to war with Afghanistan because supposedly this has all been produced by Osama bin Laden, but we don't try to capture Osama bin Laden, and we let him escape, and then we go to war with Iraq, and now we're just down in Iraq, and what are we going to do? How are we going to get our troops out, and what's going to happen after the election? Our troops going to come home? And I can tell you they're not coming home. The plan is to leave them there indefinitely. Well, to really put things into their proper perspective, let me suggest my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, because it is the story not simply of how we got into Iraq, although we cover that, and give you the documentation of the fact that the war was planned long beforehand. And we give that to you not from what I say, but from what they say, from the website, newamericancentury.org, which is the neoconservative project for the New American Century website. We give you their information. We take you into World War I, when the government lied about the sinking of the Maine, into World War, the Spanish-American War, where they lied about the sinking of the Maine, and World War I, when they lied about the atrocity stories, and World War II, when they lied about Pearl Harbor, and Vietnam, where they lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, and the first Gulf War, when they lied about the atrocities to get us into that. Iraq, the Untold Story, the book, the syllabus, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, if you'd like to get the book, Vaccine A, and it's an excellent book. It's an excellent read. Gary Matsumoto has done an excellent job. We'll be having it later, a series with him. But if you'd like to get, we have a four-tape series right now on the anthrax vaccine that they're giving to our troops that have made so many of them already ill, and so many of the young men are coming back from Iraq today, and they are ill, and they're dying. They're not dying of their wounds. They're dying of other diseases. And of course, I believe it's all related exactly to the same thing. They know the disastrous effects of this vaccine, and it precipitates autoimmune disease, and they're continuing to give it. And you have to ask yourself, why would they do that? Well, we have a four-tape set on the anthrax vaccine. We have a book on the anthrax vaccine, published just a few years ago by a military officer who destroyed his career because he refused to take the shot, and he refused to order his men to take the shot. It's called A Deadly Shot in the Dark. And then we have a four-tape set on vaccines as a whole. We have a four-tape set on mercury, because you must understand that the mercury that they put in the vaccines is designed to destroy the minds of our children. And, of course, they're still putting it in the influenza vaccine and telling you to take your child down or your grandchild down to get a vaccine shot, knowing full well that the toxic doses there will destroy the minds of our children. But if you read my November newsletter, where we simply quote one of the leaders of the elite, Bertrand Russell, saying by diet and injections and injunctions, we will be able to mold the character of the people. By diet, injections, and injunctions. Comes from page 53 of The Impact of Science on Society. If you'd like a free copy of that newsletter, they'll give you the quotations and the source of them. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy of the newsletter. Of course, we hope you want to subscribe, or better still, join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes of the month, get our monthly newsletter. But you'll be helping support what we do. 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on internet, 5 hours a day on satellite, 4 hours a day on shortwave. And, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our programs live there, or you can listen to them on archive. We do carry the Big Berkey filters, and we do carry the Big Berkey products, and we carry other products that help somewhat allay the expenses that we have. You can look at our list of books and four-tape sets and of videos we produced or that other people have produced. If you haven't yet seen Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, they're a series, and they will really take you into the biblical and spiritual background of what's going on. Megiddo 1, The March to Armageddon, is 2 hours and 15 minutes. Megiddo 2 is 3 hours. Excellent. And then if you haven't yet seen They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version, you need to get it. You need to show it to your children. You need to show it to your grandchildren. You need to show it to your people in your church and your friends to understand the satanic nature of the people we are aligned against today. I mean, why do you think that Michael Jackson is always molesting little boys? Why, because Michael Jackson is involved in the occult. If you watch the video, you'll find that there's evidence from Michael Jackson's own statements that he's involved in the occult. But then, so is Elvis Presley, so are the Beatles, and so are the Beach Boys, and so is Marilyn Manson, and so is Ozzy Osbourne. And you'll want to get They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. It's a fascinating 3-hour or 4-hour or 10-hour version. And then again, remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. Remember my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the information. You need to get others to listen to our program. You need to begin to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, may the Lord be with you.